Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
This is totally not cool. You're not allowed to do this. These macros are not allowed, but I use them in every game I play.
Welcome to Pitch Please. I'm Alex, and I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello.
As usual, developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
Idea Engine, Tom.
Engine, okay, hi.
And our special guest, co-host of the Ogscast and one third of the Triforce podcast, Lewis Brindley.
Thank you. The best third, I would say.
The best third. You're the only person to have said that, right? The other two said the worst third, right?
Yeah, they said worst.
I'm the glue. We've
collected them all. They're all in here now.
If Pyrion's like the top piece of bread and Sips is the bottom piece of bread, I am the
ham?
Delicious jam and mustard filling that is
jam
in the middle.
Classic combo.
The moist maker.
The moist maker. Ooh.
All right. So if you've not listened to us before, the whole idea for this is we'll start with a pitch for a game and then we just spend the rest of the show trying to make it work. Yeah, that's basically it. We're just going to figure out, like, we just get to a point, we'll talk about all the game until we're all relatively happy with it. Like, it's in a place...
We're all sick of it.
We're either, like, all relatively happy and we would play it, or we're so sick of it that we just give up on it. But hopefully
trash it.
The first one, right? So Tom, what's going on? Because you're usually the ideas guy, right?
You tell me.
Have you milked... Have you milked him dry of ideas, Alex?
It's empty in there.
He's been oh my god! Milked. So, do you have something for us, Lewis? Have you got something that you want to share?
Sure. Should I just okay? So, you know how an ARPG? Okay,
I'm aware of them.
Yeah. What is an ARPG? What's the difference between an ARPG and an RPG? What is that?
What's
it's
the
a
a?
Big difference? Huge okay. difference, Alex.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
ARPGs are like action RPGs, right? And obviously Diablo would be the classic one. Or nowadays, Path of Exile is the one that most people know and have played.
Sure.
I both love and hate Path of Exile. And I think that's the thing with you must feel the same about a game that you play a lot and love, you know, that you also hate it.
Dota 2.
World of Warcraft, yeah.
Sometimes the game that you love the most, you also hate the most. World of Warcraft is a great example, Tom.
Yeah, there you go. wonderful, awful game.
Yes. Well, exactly. And sometimes I think maybe the problem is that it's actually the A part that I don't like, right? The action part, right?
So you want to make an RPG? I like where this is going.
Well, no. I want to replace the A with a different A.
Like adventure.
Automated.
Oh. Automated RPG.
Okay. All right.
I want to have like an
Factorio.
Not an auto RPG, not like an idle game. But I think that is a danger, a big danger. Because I play a lot of games. I've played a lot of idle games, played a lot of RPGs. What I don't like about Path of Exile and Diablo is the gameplay, which I suppose is quite a big part,
it's quite a big part of the game. Yeah.
Now I think about it, yeah, the way it plays, the action part, I guess, and I guess the physical part of me actually physically playing it is hard, right?
Because
I used to get, like, when I played Diablo, I got like headaches from all the flashing lights.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
I got like RSI from all like the physical stress of spamming the keys.
It's just too darn loud.
It's a workout.
I found it just so unpleasant physically to play.
Okay.
But also mentally, the mental strain, the physical effect on my brain, the boredom, right, of grinding through these levels.
So what did you like about it?
What's good?
So what I liked was assembling like the combos, getting loot that work together, putting together, feeling powerful as well. That's the other thing. Like you do as you put items and sets and skill points together and talent trees and things like this, as you build it all together, you find these cool combos that you feel are broken, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it used to be like Diablo 2 was a classic example of this, where you started off very weak, but before long, you've got so many attack speed buffs on you that you're just swinging like a
wiping
lunatic.
Out hordes of them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And after a while, like you'll notice this in tower defense, after when you've got like two or three towers, you can see everything that's going on, it's fine. But
yeah,
after about 5 minutes in a tower defense, it's just visual nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And you have no way to track what's going on.
So is it just like the systems that are in place in ARPGs, like Path of Exile, especially when you're talking about the talent trees and stuff? Like I'm sure most people who know what Path of Exile is, at least if listening, have seen like the screenshots of the absurdly complex and large,
yeah, it's
talent
massive
trees and things.
Yeah, yes. It's ridiculous.
Do you want to strip that stuff out, or do you just want to change it?
Okay.
The thing is, right, the deeper problem of not getting visual feedback of your choices in the RPG. RPG is about upgrading your weapons, about changing your gear, about changing your character so he plays and performs differently, right? And mm-hmm. getting stronger over time. Often in Diablo, quite quickly you're killing the entire screen of monsters instantly. So you don't know whether the new hammer that you've got or the new skill you've got is making any difference.
Right, okay.
And so in Path of Exile, the way you end up doing it is you have to go into the stat sheet, which tells you these numbers. But or deeper than that, you have to install Path of Building.
I didn't know there were mods for Path of Exile.
So it's a whole program, and some would consider it a standalone game, Path of Building.
God. Oh, God.
Right.
Where you go in and you put your choices and your talents in, you fiddle with them, and it calculates, it sims out your skills, right, and your abilities. Okay. And so that happens in World of Warcraft 2 now. At high-end World of Warcraft, you sim your character before wasting your time grinding to get the stuff, right?
Right, okay.
Because what's the point because it's so boring and grindy, it takes you like hundreds of hours to level a character or get the gear you need. And if you get to that point and you realize that it's less damage than you would have if you'd taken this other route, you have to, everything's simming it right now.
Holy shit. So it's like the Sherlock thing of when he goes into his mind and like...
It's like Queen's Gambit. Yeah, it's like Beth.
It's a Queen's Gambit.
Okay, Queen's Gambit.
Right. I see.
To calculate all possible chess moves. Like, I guess I get that that's part of the game design, right? And that you need to keep players kind of playing. And that's the filler. That's the gameplay is that filler that is supposed to be an enjoyable experience to keep you entertained while you're in a World of Warcraft raid. You know, you're just stood there with everyone else pressing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 1, 2, 3 in your little rotation.
Well, and four. And sometimes a four.
Sometimes a four if you get a proc. But if you get a proc, you have to press 5. And if this thing happens, then you have to press 6. I don't know. There is gameplay there. But I don't find that gameplay fun anymore. I much prefer the turn-based things where I'm confronted with choices. You know, like in Baldur's Gate, Divinity, XCOM, of course.
Back when WoW was exciting, the gameplay, you could kind of forgive it because there was a much larger social element to it. Like, that was where, like...
Oh, no, it wasn't about the gameplay at all. God, no.
Yeah.
Because if it was, it wouldn't have nearly as much of a following. But going back to, like, what you were saying about strategy games, Divinity, turn-based RPGs like that, I've been playing Pillars of Eternity 1 recently, which is real time with pause. And I felt the exact same thing where with a real time combat and where you slow it down and look at all of the numbers and see how everything goes, you know exactly, okay, this sword that I've equipped this guy with is definitely doing better. Whereas in Pillars of Eternity, when you've just got every character wailing on something, you can't really look at the detailed information just by watching the combat. And you're just like, I guess this is working. I'm killing them, but I don't know if it's because of the gear or why I'm doing it.
Does it feel like a challenge?
It just, the information isn't there. I know Pillars of Eternity 2 has a turn-based mode, and when I get to that, I'm definitely going to play with that because it feels a lot more satisfying to know that you're spending all this time equipping people with all these different things and it's actually doing something. But yeah, late game, like Diablo and all of those things, you're just doing it because it has a bigger number. It might be having an impact. It might not. I've got no idea. So most of the time.
What is it that keeps you playing stuff like Path of Exile and Diablo? Once you get to a point where you're like, I'm just so powerful, there's just an entire screen full of creatures, I'm just holding down left mouse button and then pressing a couple
it's
buttons
flashy and
they're all dying.
And cool and satisfying.
Is it killing time?
It's so easy to play as well. Like, you could probably play it with just a mouse and that's it. Podcast.
I think people like watching flashing lights on a what's it called? A jackpot machine, fruit machine.
Okay.
Like, you know, people are dazzled by the flashing lights.
It's all endorphins. It's like, oh, my number is now three higher.
One more level. Yeah. It's the, you know, I need one more level. Oh, I need, you know, 10 more kills and I'm next level. Well, that might mean nothing, but it's that small achievement that drives people to keep playing.
If you look at auto chess or like Dota Underlords, or you look at something like that, or the Hearthstone Battlegrounds thing that they put in, those things are not, they're automated, they play out on their own, right? But they are always interesting to watch because you've made choices and you want to see how your choices play out, right?
Yeah.
So I like that. I call it automated, but I guess it is idle. You know, you're not controlling it directly. You set it up and then you watch it play out. So you make the changes.
There is strategy involved as well.
Yes, but you don't have to do it yourself. Like a lot of the time, and I hate to say this, I found myself building macros ever since I started playing WoW. Like ever since, like 2008, I built a macro that played my character for me because I couldn't stand it. It was so awful. And right. I would just do other things with my time. And that would make me a better player, though, because there were other elements in WoW than just pressing the buttons. You had to run out of fire. You had to shout at other people. You had to, like, do extra stuff. There was other things to be aware of. And also, you know, you can watch TV as well while you're doing it. But I had a better use for my time than just pressing the rotation, I felt like. And this is totally not cool. You're not allowed to do this in Path of Exile and Diablo and WoW. Still, they're not, these macros are not allowed. But I use them in every game I play. I can't help myself because I just feel like if you want to be a good player, you have to do this. Like I cannot possibly believe that the number one WoW players and the number one Path of Exile players in the world do not use some form of auto-clicking button. I guess the big problem with me with WoW and also Path of Exile, the PvP or the gameplay elements, the skill elements from them, come from having to like press things in a very specific window, like having to remember that this ability cools down every 30 seconds, this ability cools down every 7.5 seconds, and having to sing this song almost.
It's basically Dance Dance Revolution in combat.
Yeah, well, Dark Souls rhythm game. The same thing.
Although I would play that.
Okay, so it sounds like we have a problem. Like rather than a specific game, we have a problem, which is Lewis's love of ARPGs faded many years
it's
ago.
Ruined by the combat.
How can we fix this?
My aging physical form.
James, Chris, have you got to add?
The first thing that came to mind was I want to add an extra letter, which is AI-RPG. So we want to have a guy, you want to have a character that just want to set them off into the world.
This
and then you're making the decisions for them. You've got all the charts, you've got all the stats. Maybe you're the
like
conscience.
Football manager. But
no, it's a little bit like Dungeon Daddy.
Football manager for an RPG. But maybe you're like the fairy that sits on the shoulder and goes, hey, you need to do this. So you're like giving them suggestions and stuff. That's okay. Where my head went with that intro.
Sure.
Okay, and what about you, Chris?
So mine went in the other direction of, you sound like you want a game that gives you the tools to make macros. Therefore, why don't we let the player do it, but we limit to how many they can have, and they have to level up to gain more macro slots?
No, but right? But the thing so, is, I feel like, Lewis, if you play this macro maker that limits you, you're going to create a macro that allows you to make more macros.
No.
And you're going to break that game.
So the more you play it, the more macros you can unlock. So it encourages you to play it. And by the time you start getting into that phase where you want to make the macro, you've already unlocked some slots. So you already satisfy that urge.
As someone who's playing a game, you don't want to get into a position where you're just so not bothered with the game, you're so unengaged that you are then required to go and get a macro.
That's what he's saying. Lewis wants the automation side of it. So if you let the game sort of have that as part of it, but you limit the player, then they're picking and choosing which ones are more important to them, and then slowly and surely you start phasing out certain like bits, and they can
start.
What
kind of things are you thinking of? Quick, have you got an example?
Me or Lewis?
You, Chris.
Anyone?
Well, I mean, like, so say if there's, you know, where you have to do a counter attack, and you don't want to have to spam counter every thing. You can set it up so, if every 5 seconds it has the ability to auto counter for you, and you can then spec into that to reduce it down to 3. So if you're in a combat situation, you can press that less, I don't know, until it basically becomes auto. And you have it just then works on a percentage base or something. I don't know.
Is that kind of where we're at with skills already, though? Like with Path of Exile, do the RPGs already have that kind of thing, but it's just embedded in, you know, like the leveling, the talent tree system?
Yeah, but if they had that kind of thing, you wouldn't get people making macros to automate stuff for them, surely. Isn't that?
No, but I love this, right, Chris? This is great. You're thinking perfectly, because I'm now thinking... because I've played a few like coding games where we do little bits of code that are something like,
oh, there's actronic
stuff. 100% mana, cast this spell.
Right.
Well, I wrote some ideas there.
Go for it.
So like, for example, a mage, right? Just a mage, a generic mage class. And to begin with, you can pick between multiple different types of mage. And imagine it's like a drafting. So you can only pick one. But maybe you pick like a kind of mana fiend kind of mage who messes with his mana bar, right?
Sure.
So one idea is you could have a big brain guy with a huge mana pool, and he does more damage the more mana he has. So you're encouraged to get items with plus mana. You stack those. Maybe you have a legendary item that gives you, you know, a spell cast twice if you cast it at full mana, something like that, right? Some cool idea. Alternatively, you could have like very high mana regen, but something that kind of a low mana pool, and so it kind of casts twice as fast, but you constantly, you know, regen your mana up.
Okay.
Or you could have something where you burn all your mana, and at low mana, you get given a thing which doubles your mana regen. So something like that. So like an idea of like wasting all of your, like casting really expensive spells to burn your mana really quick.
Tying the macro gameplay idea in with that, you could do it where if you have these macros equipped, they burn at a certain rate. So they burn mana, and they obviously mana then recharges during when you're out of combat. But if you're in combat and the idea is that you want to have certain things automated that you don't want to have to do, you could have it so, okay, this burns, you know, every tick, this burns 0.5 mana, and I have 100 mana. So that's going to burn for however long. And then as the more you stack, the faster your mana burns down until you then have to start getting involved with those moves again. So then you have to start either turning them off to reduce your mana burn during that fight instance, or you have to then start actually playing the game how it's meant to be played, right?
So you're suggesting I have to spend my mana to be lazy.
It could be a third thing, right? Logic, right? So we got logic.
I could actually pay a real life money to just keep that going.
Yeah.
Why not we just microtransaction the whole thing?
Sure. Easy.
Yeah. I have to put like a pound in my disk drive every like half an hour to not have to play the game that I'm also paying for.
His computer is full of money.
Straight in the zip drive. That's how it works. Pound
it's
coins
very
in the
heavy.
Zip drive.
Yeah. So that was me trying to combine those two ideas of allowing macros, but limiting them to the way you have to pick and choose the ones that you don't want to have to do, and the stuff you still enjoy, but also combining it with the...
I think James's Football Manager idea, actually, I'm already getting excited about that.
I'm worried because it sounds like, Chris, that it requires Lewis to play the game too much.
Right, okay.
I'm trying to think, how can we make something that requires you to not even need to look at it for like 3 hours?
I want a spreadsheet with a sparkly UI that's showing me feedback on how monsters blown up and treasure and stuff and swords that I can equip.
This is turning into an idle game.
Fantasy Eve Online.
No, because there needs to be some kind of tactics involved, like before you click the go button, right? You're basically like creating these characters and then sending them out to go to a dungeon or whatever, and then you're getting feedback in this.
Is this Loop Hero?
What is Loop Hero?
Loop Hero is kind of an idle game where your character is running around a loop, and on the loop there's loads of monsters you encounter, and the battles themselves are idle, but they play out dependent on the equipment you've given them. So, I mean, the equipment only really varies their attack speed, their damage. Certain characters can summon skeletons and things like that, and that will affect how many skeletons you can summon. And the combat themselves, it kind of plays out, and you can see all the stats, and you know very quickly how well you're doing against particular enemies because your stats aren't right. Like, you're not doing enough damage, or you're not attacking fast enough, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you leave the combat, you get some gear, you upgrade your stuff, and then you kind of build the world and add more monsters to the route to level yourself up before you get to the boss. So half idle game, half equipping your characters with certain things.
It's not, though. The Loop Hero is... I hate Loop Hero. When I started playing Loop Hero and I saw it, I was like, this is the game I want, and it's not. So Loop Hero is 95% placing tiles, which basically inform how hard your idle guy is going to have to fight.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then all of the loot goes in your inventory automatically, and whenever you get a new one, you have to manually fucking equip it. Whereas what it should do is automatically equip it, because it's not... it's stupid that you have to drag a new sword to your... It's like, oh, you've got a new sword. Would you like to equip it? Well, drag it there yourself, you fucking lazy arsehole. Well, it's like, oh, God.
Hang on. The game is calling you a fucking lazy arsehole.
Yeah, well, it is. It's like all I'm doing is just... It's like an idle game with clicking. With tedious clicking. If you're going to make an idle game, at least make a fucking idle game. Do you know where I don't have to do all this? If I'm not making any... If the only choice I'm making is dragging the next level 5 sword over my level 4 sword, what's the point?
You're right.
I really don't like Loop Hero. I think it's really slow. It's really unsatisfying.
Yeah, I definitely fell out of it very quickly. It very quickly got boring.
And the talents in it, you get like... There's only like... fucking 4 in the whole game to pick from, and even then they're garbage. It's like, you hit for 1 extra damage every 17th hero, and it's like, what the fuck, how does that change my gameplay at all? So weak and ineffectual. It doesn't make you feel powerful at all.
In defense of Loop Hero, there are more talents that you can unlock. And also,
I've played it for about 25 hours, so I hate Loop Hero
this much.
The reason you have to choose between your equipment is because they all have different stats applied to them. Like, one item has 4 different modifiers, and maybe the next one has
like
better attack speed.
Modifiers. Some of them have lifesteal, and you're like, oh, I better make sure I don't pick the lifesteal because I've got vampires out there, and so I'm not using lifesteal this run. And so you just don't, well, this, has this one got lifesteal? Oh, no, okay, I'll leave it. Has this one got lifesteal? Oh, okay, no, I'll leave it. Has this one got lifesteal? Oh, it's 1 level higher than the one I'm using. Let's equip it. It's tedious. Yep. You could automate that. You could say, automatically equip better swords if they don't have lifesteal, you know?
Right, okay.
I think I get it. So
I'm mad.
You want to set the parameters. You want to set the parameters of the minutiae of each of these things to a point where you say, okay, if this is, if I find a sword that has X, ignore it. But if it has a higher damage per second, equip it. Okay.
Well, listen to me. This is exactly what they have in Path of Exile. Right, so the second thing, as well as
Path of Exile building, is great now.
The other thing about Path of Exile that you have to install is a thing called Filter Blade, which is a loot filter. Now, the great thing about Diablo and Path of Exile and World of Warcraft is that there's shitloads of loot, right?
Okay.
The other thing about it is that it's all fucking worthless. None of it is useful when you spend a long time sifting through all the shit. And that's actually okay. I don't mind that. I think that's a fun thing to do.
There needs to be some shit, right?
If you kill a boss, you want him to drop 1 million fucking swords and axes and random garbage. You want to pick it all up, vacuum it all up, and you want to go and fucking sell it all. And that's a very satisfying, very fun thing to do. But the fact is, 99% of the time, all of that loot is totally shit and garbage. And yeah. as a result, it's also in Path of Exile, your inventory is so small, you can't carry it all anyway. So you just leave it all on the floor because you've got this thing called Filter Blade installed, which goes ping and puts a little marker on the minimap to make sure you didn't miss the thing you got from a mob that you killed from three screens away.
That feels like it's really trying to solve like design problems that shouldn't that should be already solved by now in current games. Like, because these problems have existed for 25 years. Game,
you know, I there's another game called Chronicon. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
It's a 2D ARPG, very well rated. Came out last year. I played it a lot. It's kind of like a pixely Diablo.
Okay.
It's got lots of different talent trees, lots of different classes, lots of different abilities. Really fun to like mess around with. I had a lot of fun like going through it and being like, oh, which one of these should I? Oh, I'll pick the necromancer and the demonologist, and I'll summon a load of zombies that are also on fire. Oh, and it's fun like to combine those mechanics, right? But you do all that, you go out into the world, and you have to walk around a 2D landscape and fucking fire your bow and watch things die off screen, and then suddenly, bam, you're dead, because that's the only way to make it hard in these ARPGs. Like, there's no, it's just you die. There's no slow grind. There's no choice. There's no, oh, quickly, can I use this resource? Can I use this potion? Can I react? Can I make a choice?
Yeah.
It's all like so punishing.
I can't help but feel like all I can think of is, how is a player going to interact with this game right now? That's what's
ideally
in my head.
They don't, I think.
Well, they have to do something.
Do.
That's the whole point.
But they have to do something. Led down the correct route in terms of, hey, by the way, this item's the best one. What? Don't pick up any of the others. You know, hey, oh, if I'm looking at my inventory screen, it will highlight everything that I should probably get rid of. Like, all those monotonous decisions that you have to make, like, you know, in Skyrim when I've got like 700 wheels of cheese, it's like, why? Get rid of these cheeses, please. And, you know,
auto eat cheese.
Auto dump.
If cheese is in inventory, eat cheese.
There you go. It's the game of ifs, isn't it? And what you want the player to have basically a timeline, like a set length of, I don't know, X amount of time, and go, right, you can place blocks that lets you go, if mana 100, you can then do this. If space in inventory, pick up. If sword is shit, drop it down. Pick up good sword. But you've only got so much space, right? There needs to be something to limit the player. Otherwise, it's just like, I'll just chuck everything in and then I'll watch my player spam around the place like a lunatic and do the whole game in like a second, right? There needs to be some limitation.
Right, yes.
There needs to be some kind of gameplay.
I like that programming element of it.
It is just a programming game, right?
But that's kind of cool. I don't know. That I find that quite exciting.
I agree.
You want Baldur's Gate with logic gates is essentially what you want.
Logic gate.
That's the name of the episode.
Lewis Brindley's logic gate.
How is this visualized? Is it?
I feel like this isn't a game. I feel like it's more of a piece of software that just, it knows what game you're playing, goes, yeah, by the way, this is the best sword, dump the rest.
Not the first time you've said that on this podcast.
No, but that's the limitation, isn't it? Maybe to say, pick up the best sword and drop the worst one takes up like a third of your timeline. So you got, do I really want that in there? I could just...
So I've got another thing. I forgot, there's a third thing about Path of Exile that everyone uses. So of course
Does anyone use Path of
Building? They use Filter Blade in the game to get the loot. But everyone also uses this thing called, I think it's poe.trade, right? Which is a website where you can search and put filters in for specific loots that you want, right, that other people are selling. So in game, you can go into your bank, if you have a premium stash tab, and you can publicly set any of your items that are in your inventory for trade. And you can set a price. And there's a website where it aggregates them all, and you can search for boots that are made, that are plate, that are higher than this level, that have this much health on them, that have this much resistance on them. You can search by stat, by special things, by unique modifiers, by rare things, by whatever, right? And then you just leave it in the background and it waits. Okay. So I had, when I was playing Path of Exile, I had about 10 windows open on my other monitor, and they would ping an audio ping when someone listed that item that I wanted at the price that I wanted. And I would click a button. It would send them a message in game immediately.
Oh
right?
My God.
They would get, they would invite me to their party immediately. I'd go to their stash. We'd trade it. And then I'd be back in the game in seconds.
Stonks.
Right, this happened.
Right, it's but you had to manually click
but
the message
button.
I just want to be aware of
that. I was waiting for hours for the right item to appear.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I want that experience just in a game. Just in the game, not on a third-party website. Because I quite enjoyed the idea that these things would come across rarely, or I'd have to put in my specific requirements, you know.
Okay.
So that of all the trash that I'm looting, imagine it's like a recycling game, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine you are running a recycling center. This could be another game idea. I'm just pitching you a second. No, okay, it's the same idea. Imagine you're running a recycling center and loads
this
of trash is just dumped in the trash every day. Mm-hmm. I might say to someone, hey, if a old cell phone comes through the trash anytime, let me know. I'll put it in the cell phone bin and I'll get the gold out of it. And eventually, you know, I can upgrade my phone because I'm still using a Nokia.
I would play the shit out of that game.
That sounds awesome.
In a way, like, that's kind of how I used to play WoW with the auction house, and also how I sometimes do stuff on eBay. So, for example, me and Ben play these old games, and I have a few searches on eBay that ping me when someone lists something. Like, yeah. Ben's looking for this old Warhammer game that's out of print. No one sells it, but if someone does put it on there, I'll get a ping and I'll be like, oh shit, okay, I'll bid on that, right? So yeah. I see that experience and I like that, and I think that there's a way to build that into that ARPG. I just want Path of Exile and all the third party shit, but none of the combat.
It's the queuing up of stuff, isn't it? You're setting stuff ready to go. That's quite nice, and then you get the feedback of if you make the right choice. So can we make that also for the actual gameplay? You're saying, I'm sending in my player into the world. I'm going to make them queue up. This is how they behave.
If he sees a goblin, fight him. If he sees a ghost,
run
away.
Run.
Run.
Yeah. Get out of there.
So it's kind of like how in Fallout Shelter, you send your residents out on quests and you get a log. And there are certain things that it's just like, oh, they've encountered this. Do you want to do this or this? And you're like, yeah. But obviously at a very base level, you get a log of everything that's happened. It's like, they killed this rad roach, they picked up this, they did this, they did that. And then at any point you can recall them, and they obviously it takes time for them to come back. But is it, at a base level, is that kind of what you want?
None of the delay, none of that padding, of the fluff and filler, which is in so many of these games to just make people come back the next day. Mm-hmm. Or any of that crap. But it is like that. Yeah, I think like in Path of Exile and in World of Warcraft, you can just go out and farm an area and come back and stop at any time. Maybe there's some sort of thing where, you know, after a little bit like a tower defense, you can call waves quicker or have more monsters come in if you think you can handle it. And that's you know, once you've killed everything on the screen, maybe it gives you an opportunity to call more stuff or to stop, you know, and like go home. And maybe you get bonuses for staying out longer.
I mean, it does kind of go back to the Football Manager thing of, I am imagining having six games running at the same time on the same screen, and you're just watching all of these things happen. And there's a mage in the top right, there's the fighter in the top left, and you're just watching this screen of things that you're managing, and they're doing things automatically. It's like
imagine if you could
six
like
different adventures.
Spec out Ronaldo to have like an extra leg, and your goalkeeper to have an extra arm. Jeremy, I'm just saying, like, putting that out there, that maybe that's a way to make Football Manager more
your
fun.
If ball just comes close to face, put hand up. You know, is it that level?
It needs to be an if goalkeeper like statement. Otherwise,
if goalkeeper,
very much against the rules.
Okay, stay in goal area.
Yeah. What if, as a way to maybe bring this stuff together, what if you had, if Logic's Gate was an actual an actual town, right? It's an actual city, mm-hmm. and it is a populated by lots of different heroes, adventurers who come, and lots of different shopkeepers or whatever. And for every single unit in that town, you have to create your own logic statements So if it's like a shopkeeper, for example, then you're saying, if someone comes into my shop...
Spit on him. Not that. Don't spit on him.
If it's an elf, spit on him. No. And kick them out. Don't trade below this amount or only accept these kinds of items or whatever. And then you have for certain adventures, you can say, okay, so don't, like, if you're under this max HP, don't venture out further than this. If you encounter this kind of enemy, fight it. If you don't, or whatever. And then, like, and as these adventurers trickle out throughout the world, they will discover new creatures and new dungeons and new enemies. Every time they do that, you are presented with, oh fuck, they've just found a cave troll.
It definitely says, oh fuck,
how to react to this.
that's the notification. It says, oh fuck, and you click it. Like, oh, cave troll.
And kind of like by building in these little logic gates for these statements for each individual character that you have, you're kind of creating your own bespoke classes by being able to give them certain skills and certain things and certain logic.
You're giving them a personality as well, because you're saying like they don't like cave trolls perhaps, so you've like made that choice at some point. Yeah. And then later on in the game you come across them again and you've already made that choice. You go, shit, if I had said I like cave trolls, they would have given me a whole chest of gold. Fuck, like how locked in do you want to be, or do you want to be free to change it at any point?
After a certain point, does it become so complex that you almost zoom out? You're viewing this logic timeline playing out across your entire kingdom or whatever, and it's just like neurons firing. There's like the adventurer out here who's doing this thing with the cave troll. There's the shopkeeper here who's spitting on an elf and throwing them out of his shop.
It becomes insanely, like, I'm thinking, like, you know, like end game Civ, when you're in like when you're into like 4 hours of a Civ game. And then right at the end, no one's talking anymore because you're just constantly focused on trying to get things done. No characters do anything unless you tell them to, like unless you program something in. And maybe it's really basic, but like maybe it's not super, you know, you don't have to teach every single character to walk. There's just an explore.
There's a level of autonomy, but at a base level, you have made a decision because of that.
Now, do we make this... multiplayer online, and everybody can have their own set of characters, and then they all start interacting with each other.
Jesus Christ. I can't imagine how that would work.
Oh my God. I mean, this is. First of all, I'm concerned about the idea of automating stuff, right? Because you before you know, it's like the idea of telling a robot that, oh, okay, I'm going to automate this robot and say, make ice cream, right? But if you're not clear enough, before you leave him alone, you know, maybe overnight, he's gone and built new robots that make ice cream. He's built, like, he's turned the whole world into ice cream before you really even realized. And then you fucked everything, Alex. You've been turned into ice cream. This is the problem of the robot.
Fucking ice cream.
But I do like that. You automate a little adventurers guild to send quests out. I think this is a different game we're thinking of now.
It's a very different game. This is a city builder. A macro kingdom is what we're making here.
It's macro kingdoms. Alex.
There you go.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm going to be so excited playing in my head macro kingdoms.
Every single part of this game you're responsible for, basically. You're creating all this different logic and nothing happens without it.
I think this is a great idea. If city reaches X population, build school.
Oh, I think we're like, city reaches. Like, oh, God.
Do you know what I mean?
Purge. Oh, no. Initiate the purge.
If city expands certain size, build harbor, you know, like, oh, you could automate it. You could plan it and then let it go. And then be like, oh, okay, I need to tweak these numbers because this is looking really weird.
I'm kind of digging this idea a lot. Like the city builder idea, I'm digging a lot more. The whole like, you're the city planner and you've made choices at the beginning and then you let it play out and then you go, oh yeah, I forgot that people shit, so we didn't build a sewer in time and now it's all overflowed.
If poo, flush.
If poo, flush.
If yellow, let it mellow.
Oh shit, we forgot to wipe.
Okay, so if Logic's Gate is just a small little village that starts off, expands into a town and then a city, and you're responsible for the expansion of that, all the different things that are going on and all the adventurers that thrive there and go out and explore to come back with loot to then give you more resources to build more stuff, right?
Yeah, to build more logic. So people use more logic, so you need more logic. That's,
so is,
yeah.
is the treasure that they find in a chest, is it logic?
Logic should definitely be a resource. Yeah. I feel like Chris said it.
I think the gold is just it goes back into the economy, and if your shop isn't set up in a particular way where people can't spend their money, then your logic is fucked and you have to tweak it, and then maybe they sell all the wrong stuff because you haven't given the right logic for them to bring in the right inventory. And it's kind of like Factorio, when you look at an old part of your base and you realize it's fucked and that's why the rest of your base is not working anymore, and then you start tweaking that, and then you start tweaking the next bit and the next bit. It kind of reminds me in a very vague way of Factorio.
Well, I must admit, I have just gone over 1,000 hours in Factorio, so yeah, I've played that a lot. I'm a big fan of that. I do like to automate things. There's that classic XKCD of, you know, find a problem, you know, thinking about like automating it, and then like time spent building the system for automating it takes way more time than the original problem would if you were doing it every day. I like that, though. I like the useless robots and the things that do stupid stuff. And so, yeah, I do. I am a fan of like building these things. I see how it would be awkward to do, but I just want to be able to play. I want to be able to play these games, but I just can't play them in the current way. All it feels like is that I can see where I want to be, like in Path of Exile. It's like I know what it'll be like in an hour's time, but I have to do an hour of tedious grinding to get there. And that is like it could be bypassed. I could get that joyful experience without me watching a TV on my other monitor while I sit through screens and screens of flashing lights.
Okay, so in addition to this being an appeal to the Path of Exile developers
it's a cry for help is what it is. You're right.
Forum post of fixes we'd like to see in Path of Exile 2.
It's just any asshole forum post.
So the idea
isn't your game more like the game I want it to be?
If Logic's Gate was a town, a macro manager. Tom, do you understand a brief rundown of this?
Fuck, are
you
able to?
If it, okay,
get to right. work, Tom. What are you doing?
If it's a town, you're running every individual character in there.
Every single NPC has a series of logic that you have to attach to them. Maybe it's node based, where you're like, okay, if
I like node-based.
Shopkeeper, then sell bread less than 20 gold or whatever. Then people will go into the store, they'll buy the bread if they have the money. If bread equals less than 20, buy it. And that all ties in with each other. You got adventurers that you send out. If ogre cave, enter. If ogre, get the fuck out of there. If
what
no
are you
ogre,
expecting to find
loot
this?
It. Oh, okay. He might have left for a bit. You don't know. But you have to give them those rules for them to follow. Like maybe you'll just say, if ogre cave, run. And they'll never pick up the empty ogre cave full of treasure. And that's because your logic is
that's
screwed.
Right. So and if he encounters something unknown, it's like error. It's like he pause break. And then you have to like type in the code, like, oh, if dwarf, a pirate ship discovered, then check it out.
Lewis, what are you thinking about this? Is this macro manager? Is that something interesting to you? This logic gate?
I consider being on this podcast a bit of therapy, though, Alex, because it's a way to like vent out all of my frustrations with games that I love. You know, I've complained a lot about these games today, but I have enjoyed playing them immensely. So maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you have to. I know what you're saying. That is to keep them on side.
Maybe that's welcome to the world of game dev. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Let's maybe find out.
But, I mean, we took your rants and we made something unexpected with it—a city builder somehow.
A delicious jam and mustard sandwich.
Yeah,
there's nothing like my
hot and sweet
original idea.
Chris, James, any final thoughts with what this is, or whether you would be interested in playing this this nebulous thing.
The whole time I sat there trying to figure out if we've made the world's first playable, non-playable character, because I wasn't sure if they were technically playable, because you're giving them their logic.
You're giving them the logic, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So you're making NPCs.
That's where my mind went for quite a while.
PNPCs.
PNPCs? Yeah, playable, non-playable characters.
PNPC, yeah.
Well, they're programmable, non-playable characters, so it works either way.
All right, and James, as someone who I'm kind of getting the feeling has never played Diablo or Path of Exile.
I've played
Diablo 3 recently, and that's probably the limit of how much I know about these kinds of games. So this is completely alien to me, really. But I'm intrigued. Piqued my interest. Yes, I would like to play a game like this.
All right. Well, sure. I think that's a win, right? We've got somewhere with it. Tom, if other people think they can do a better job or can add to this, I think we've got something. We've tugged like a little bit of gold in the surface, but we've not uncovered the whole thing. We don't have time anymore. Maybe other people can help us.
If discover gold, uncover.
Tom, how can people talk to us about this? How do they shout at us that our ideas are terrible?
Shout us on Pitch Please Pod. That's our Twitter. It's Pitch Pullers Pod, Pitch Please Without the Vowels, Pod with the Vowel for some reason.
It's simple.
You can let us know what you think of the episode on there, or in the reviews, or in the YouTube comments. I don't care. Please. I'm not going to read them.
Also, you probably don't need to know this because I'm sure most people listening to this already do, but Lewis, you're on Triforce pretty much every week, right? Listen to that.
Yeah.
Every week.
Pretty reliable in the lockdown. It's a podcast where sips a period and tell me the boring dad things they've done this week. And I go off on a tangent about something I've been thinking about, and usually they don't listen and zone me out.
So look forward to that.
Wow.
I'm used to it.
Lewis, thank you very much for joining us.
I'm glad I got it off my chest, because sometimes those ideas just rattle around in my head, and you guys have done well to like put some pins in the balloon of my idea.
We've taken the balloon and we've twisted it into a dog. And it's at least something.
Yes, you've taken my idea.
We've taken your long balloon.
Well, hopefully there are many more idea balloons that we can then twist into unrecognisable forms in the future. Thank you very much for joining us, Liz. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
If podcast equals end, open parentheses, say
five-star review.
Goodbye, close parentheses.